WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely here as well to take your calls, talk to you, maybe give you an answer. And then if the question seems like a lot of people would have the same question, then we'll typically try to take it on the air, because that's the bottom line with questions, is that you have worries and you're worried about the market and you're worried about China and you're worried about Greece and you're worried about all the dirty dozen that we talked about in the 9 o'clock hour and how that impacts the world. And we just saw that gross domestic product was negative in the first quarter. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't negative gross domestic product doesn't mean we're in a recession? Well, almost. Two of those in a row, two quarters in a row, 6 months of that. And then, yeah, we're in a recession. But wait a minute. The unemployment rate looks a lot better. And manufacturing still slightly to the positive, and housing prices have gotten a lot better. Housing starts have gotten a lot better. Interest rates are still low. Well, why are we in this flatness, or how are we in a contraction? Well, there's a lot that happened in the first quarter. You had terrible weather. You had a half a mile high of snow in all of the Northeast. You had the entire West Coast dock strike, so we couldn't get barbecue chips and steel into this country. And there's a lot of major things that happen that are transitory, meaning just one-time events, slightly incongruent with what normally happens. And voila, you get a negative quarter. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Just means that we don't have a straight line trajectory with economic growth. And that's okay. As long as we're not headed into the abyss, which we're not, then the market should be okay, at least okay. And I want to give the economy a grade here. When we talk about the economic chime, it's just a quick acronym, C-H-I-M-E, that reminds me, if I'm doing a talk live and I have to have an acronym in my head so I can get through a big list, there are really 12 main parts of chime, but there are five main parts that with 12 data points. So C stands for consumer spending, and then confidence. So really C is all about the consumer. H is about housing. I is about interest rates and inflation. M as in manufacturing. E as in employment / earnings. And there are 12 different variables that I regularly look at that make up that symphony of data, if you will. And what I have done now is I've started to score that data. I've scored the data, meaning that I will give a... One is neutral, so if it's not good nor bad, I'll give it a 1. If it's really positive and going in the right direction, I'll give it a 2. And if it's net negative, I'll give it a 0. So that creates a continuum of 0 all the way up to 24. You get a continuum of 0 all the way to 24. So I have recently scored this data. And then I take my number. If I get a 24, that means it's an A. If I get a 0, it's an F. And then, of course, the corresponding number can translate into a letter grade, as if I were in high school or college or grade school. It doesn't matter. Just a grade, a report card. So if you go down this whole list, personal spending, well, that continues to go up ever so slightly. It's still below. It's still below its longer-term average, but it's still growing. Wages are growing. That's another, they're not growing tremendously, but they're still at least growing. Still below historical trend, but still going in the right direction. Personal savings, actually, it looks pretty good. We're saving at a rate of approximately 5.5% per year. Consumer confidence, still very good and way better than where we were in the great financial crisis. Housing starts back to 1.1 million, down from 2 million. Before the crisis, but way better than 500,000 when we dropped right after, or as we were in the housing 2007-08, we dropped to only under 500,000. So we're more than double where we were in the trough of the economic cycle. Housing prices, well, we dropped all the way back to 2002 levels, and now we're back to 2005 levels. In fact, the median home price, which is a little bit different than the mean, the median home price is actually at a new high. Not the mean. We're still back to 05 levels, 2005. But the median price has just recently gotten to a kind of a new peak. Mortgage availability is really high. Interest rates are still low. Inflation is still low. So if you were to score all of these areas, I come up with a 17 on a scale of 0 is terrible, 24 is A+++. We're at a 17. That means we, right now, if I had to grade the economy through this metrics, it's a B-. Real simple. It's not great, but it's not bad at all. So we're not an A, we're not an F. We are at a B- for the economy. And that is what is important here. B, that B, C to B- range or C to B+ range is actually a pretty good place to be. You get to an A, that means that we're kind of firing on almost too many cylinders and we run the risk of overheating. And I don't like that. And we certainly don't want to be at a D or an F, as in Frank, and go through another huge financial crisis like we just went through. So I'm actually quite comfortable at a B- when it comes to grading this economy and has how it translates back into the market, the economy, or how it translates back to investing in your 401k plan, investing in the market, investing in stocks. And that's the bottom line here, is that we want to make sure we're in a period of time where we're not about to fall off the edge of a cliff and go into the abyss, which from my scoring of this economy or looking at all this economic data, we're not. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. 1-800-WSB-TALK. We also want to do highlights, lowlights. First, we're going to go to Joe, who joins us on the line. Joe has a question, something to do with retirement. Joe, you've called the right show, my friend. How can we help?
Good morning, Wes. Thank you. I'm retiring next year. I'll be 69. I've got a pension, Social Security, and a total of real estate income coming in to be a tune over $10,000 a month.
Wow.
What am I going to do with it besides give it to taxes or go do something foolish?
Okay, so I think I already know the answer to this question, but $10,000 is a month. $10,000 a month is sounds like a lot, unless you need $20,000 a month to live.
Right.
How much do you need? How much is a normal spending month for you?
$9,999.
Got it. So it's so what you're saying is that you've got enough income. It's almost where you're in a really nice position, kind of enviable. I don't think anybody's feeling sorry for you listening to your worries here, but it's a legitimate concern about, hey.
Well, I want to save it. I want to leave it to the grandkids. I just don't want to be in tax to death. I'm not going to spend that. All I need is the $1,000. Mortgage payment, and then your daily necessities. So
okay.
it's something to save.
So you almost have. So you have excess retirement income, pension, yeah. Social Security, real estate income. It all adds up to a little bit more than you guys even really need. And then you're not even. So that also, you're not even counting. You're not really even taking. You're 69, so soon you're going to have to take from your IRA. But
well, I don't have any IRA. That what I just told you. That's all I have.
Oh, I got it. Okay, so do you? What about regular? What about after tax money? Do you have some savings that way too?
Nope. It's a net of $6,000 and $4,000 in IRR in Social Security and pension.
Wow. Okay. So you don't necessarily have an asset problem. You've just got an income problem.
Yes.
And it's really not a problem. It's more of a scenario that you want to make sure that's most efficient. Well. The good news about your situation, Joe, is that you don't have to, at 70 and a half, if you had a big, let's say you had $1 million at an IRA, you'd be forced to take another almost 40 grand a year out of that.
Uh-huh.
And the government collects their taxes on that. That's obviously what we call the required minimum distribution. Everybody's got to do it at age 70 and a half. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
So you've got to worry about a regular pension income, Social Security, and then real estate income.
Right.
Now, have you? So you've already started taking your social?
Yes.
Okay. And then real estate income. Tell me about that. How big of a chunk is the real estate income?
Probably close to $1 million, of which 70% roughly mortgaged.
But your net is how much of that, of your 10 a month? You're getting four?
Six grand.
Got it. Okay. So a couple of thoughts here. That $6,000, that's typically fairly tax efficient money because you're getting it from real estate. There's lots to deduct, and there's plenty of tax maneuvers you can do that make it's not as though it's like W-2 income where the whole thing gets taxed. Your FICA is, for the most part, going to be gone because you don't really have any wage income anymore.
Right.
You are over 65. So in the state of the great state of Georgia, you're going to get a big state tax deduction. So you probably, did you pay a lot of state tax last year or probably not? You probably paid a couple, like 2 or 3% total.
I think so. Yeah.
Because the first $65,000 you have now gets exempt from Georgia state taxes, or approximately.
Okay, that's right.
So when you go to your CPA, obviously that should get all baked in, and then you've got your social and you get your pension. Are you married, Joe, or is this? Are you single?
No, nope, single.
Okay, so that makes you in a higher bracket. Is the other thing?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So you've got. So I would say that you would be in worse shape. Not that this is necessarily answering your question. You'd be in worse shape if this was all pension income. The fact that really 2/3 of it, Joe, or a little less than 2/3 is coming from real estate income, at least that part of it is really tax efficient. To some extent, you can be saving some of this money and be putting it in because the real estate is a business. So the profits that you have from that real estate, you can set up a retirement plan. Do you have some sort of retirement plan set up for that?
Not at all. That's what I'm looking to do.
There you go. So that's really the part of your answer here is that you, as an independent, let's say real estate owner, you should be able to set up a retirement plan. If it's just you, there's a couple things you can do. Probably the easiest, quickest way to save the most amount of money and save you the most in taxes is a solo 401k.
Okay.
And that's what I want you to explore is called a solo 401k is a way you might be able to save up to 40, 50 grand, depending on what your income is. The other easy thing to do is a simplified employee pension called a SEP, S-E-P-I-R-A, and you could do 25% of your income. So, Joe, those are the two areas to explore. I'll put up on our Facebook page and Twitter some links to some good articles about that. Straight ahead, news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Baby powder beaching to my feet, it's got me rolling. And the breeze through crackling leaves like a daytime campfire.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters as we jump right back into the phones. 404-872-0750. Bill joins us from Rutledge, Georgia. Good morning, Bill. How can we help, my friend?
Good morning, Wes. Getting ready to retire in actually about 90 days. And before I make a stupid decision, I thought I'd better call and ask somebody. I'm about to sell my house. It's a big house. I live alone. I'm single. I'm going to have a pension and Social Security will be a comfortable income. But what I was thinking of doing is selling the house, which is on the market, and I'll probably clear around $225,000.
Got it.
Is it good to take that money and buy a smaller home and have no mortgage except for the only payment I'd have would be taxes, or to take that money, add it to my 401ks and my IRAs, and live off the interest of that, as opposed to buying a home and have 100% equity and no mortgage payment?
See, I like the thought of, so what's a big worry in retirement longer term? It's not today, but longer term, we're worried about inflation. So I'm always worried about prices going up longer term, 2, 3, 4% a year on average. If you own your home, Bill, so let's say you sell this and this is making a case to go ahead and buy another place and have no mortgage, is that you're taking a huge chunk of CPI off the table. So CPI is the measure of inflation in America, consumer price index. And if you're renting over the next 20 years, even though you've got plenty of assets, rent's gonna go up and up and up and up with inflation. If you own your home free and clear, then you're taking 40%, 40, maybe half of CPI off the table. So you're taking a huge chunk of your inflation risk off the table. So I'm a big believer is to own it free and clear. It helps with your inflation situation, which is a is a silent real challenge over the long term. So that's why I would go ahead and buy No Mortgage. You're in great shape. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com. Straight ahead news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. So good to be here. Fun talking to people, having questions. We really do have a pretty good time here on Sunday mornings. 404-872-0750. I almost brought one of my kids here this morning. And they're getting to the age where I think they can be good enough to be in the studio and not yell while I'm on air and ask me about the internet or, Dad, this isn't working. Can you help me in the middle of this? I didn't bring anybody today, but I think I'm going to start doing that, especially because it's summer and I have three boys at the house and they're there just with Lynn and they're running around and they're fighting and I'm about to leave and I feel a little bit guilty and I think, well, maybe I should just take one of these kids off out of your hair for just the next couple of hours. I think I've got to start doing that. This is what I have to do. Hey, let's do highlights, lowlights here. And then I want to go to the phones. We've got several calls on hold. And I'm going to zip through these. Highlights, lowlights, which I like to do about what is happening most recently in the market. Remember, GDP was slightly lower for the first quarter, almost a negative 1%. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think we're going into another recession. If I had to grade the economy, I went through this, how we score our Chime data, which is consumer, housing. Chime is an acronym for some of the major areas of the market. Consumer, housing, inflation, M for manufacturing, E for employment, and earnings. So that Chime looks as though we're at a B-, B as in Bob, B as in boy, minus Bravo, for the economy, which is actually a decent place to be. I don't want to be an F as in Frank or fail, and I don't want to be an A plus. I want to be somewhere close to the middle. We've got another low light, a big cable. Call it big oil, now call it big cable. You got Charter Communications buying Time Warner Cable, $55 billion plus. I don't love the fact that any of these cable companies getting together. It just means even worse service and more of an oligopoly. Shanghai Composite fell 6.5% on Friday. 100,000 people in the U.S., you and me, have had our data. We don't know who it is, obviously, but has had their data stolen from the IRS. The IRS believes that the identity thieves are Russian-based. Speaking of Russia, we have more troops and artillery and tanks moving into Ukraine this past week, which I don't like. Another thing my kids are very into is understanding what's happening. They're learning about freedom and understanding about what's a free economy and government versus one that's not so free. So my oldest, who'll be going into third grade, one of his good buddies, it was here from China. His parents, I want to say, worked at Georgia Tech. And he had to go back to China. So he told Ben all about what it's like to be in China and what it's like to be in school there. And so he's very interested in understanding what it's like to be a citizen over there in their governmental system, which is obviously very different than our governmental system here. And then they understand and they hear about troops and tanks and artillery from Russia into Ukraine. And now you have this worry about, well, it sounds like they're really, what are they doing in Ukraine, Dad? Why are they trying to cause trouble? Are they trying to take over Ukraine? That sounds like a really bad thing. So it's kind of interesting from a young person's perspective as they look at the world and they understand what's a democracy and what isn't. And it's very scary to kids to think about a system that's not a free an open system. So interesting that that continues to play itself out. Snapchat, this is concerning to me. I'll put in the low light column. Snapchat is going public. Now, maybe this is me turning into an old fogey, but because I don't use Snapchat, I don't really understand Snapchat. It's very difficult for me to see this as a company that's a viable entity, and it might very well be. It's just that I'm, I guess, getting to be an old fogey and I don't use it. Snapchat is basically like Twitter and Vine and texting that disappears supposedly on your phone. But we all know that there's a server somewhere out there that's storing all the data. So I don't know why younger individuals trust Snapchat. I just don't understand it, because we know the data is not really going away. Data doesn't ever go away. Dow down this week, 221 points. We're 1.2% on the week. Now, here we are almost in June, and we've got a Dow that's up 1% for the year. That's it. Just this oscillation for it's a speed bump year. We've got a name this year, but it's just like this. It's not even a huge roller coaster. It's just this. It's like driving slowly in a neighborhood, and you're about to turn around in a cul-de-sac, and you just keep driving slowly over these speed bumps, and it's just this very methodically, slightly up and down market to effectively go nowhere. It's a circles. Highlights. Let's do some good news here. ERBI, the Employee Benefit Research Institute, which usually just delivers bad news. I remember these guys because I got several scary retirement statistics from their research for my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. 5 Money Secrets of the Happiest Retirees. If you haven't picked it up or looked at it, there's a quick 1-minute video of the book, what it's about, why it's different, why it's helpful. Gives you some really bare minimum financial checkpoints you almost have to get to. For my research of over 1,350 almost retirees or current retirees in 46 different states, there's a quick video on my website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Lower right-hand corner, video of me talking about the book and why it's important and what you can learn from that. But ERBI came out and just said there's been an actual increase, so this is good news, in IRA money. Individual retirement account of money. If you have an IRA or multiple IRAs from the year 2010 to 2013, the average balance actually went up 30%, which is pretty good. That includes contributions, so people putting money into these. But I also looked at the S&P 500 during that same period of time. And the Standard & Poor's 500 was up about 65% during that period of time. So it's not as though there's some miracle happening here. If you're invested, you've gotten at least some of the upside. Not a great deal of optimism nor pessimism right now in the marketplace. So AAII, American Association of Individual Investors, 48% of that group is in the neutral camp. Neutral. Maybe that goes back to the cul-de-sac and the slow driving in the neighborhood over these speed bumps. It's just kind of this neutral environment. That's the highest neutral reading we've seen since 2003. Usually only about 30% of the marketplace surveyed is neutral, but now almost half of the entire investing public and world is nor bullish nor bearish, but just kind of stuck in the middle. New home construction, still 30% below its long-term average, but housing, you get a little life here in housing. Housing starts jumped 20% month over month for April. It's the highest level in 7 years. Also, building permits up another 10%. So we're getting some real momentum in housing here. New home sales are 24% above last year's because we have this inventory that's really low. There's only 203,000 homes available in inventory in America. That seems like that's a small number. So median home prices up 8.3% year to date. The average the median home price down in America is $297,000. That's $40,000 above the peak in 07. Household, and again, that's median, not mean. The mean's still a long way from where it was back in 2007. Household formation, though, this is what's driving a lot of this. It was 550,000 new households getting formed at the kind of the trough of the great financial crisis and the recession. Today, we're looking at about 1.5 million new households being formed every quarter or as an annual pace. That is a significant upturn, and it's great for housing, particularly the home builders. 404-872-0750. We have time for probably a question and then the WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack. First, we're going to Nancy and Marietta. Nancy, how can we help?
Yes, I'm trying to have a diversified portfolio, but I'm a little unhappy with the performance of my bonds, intermediate bonds, and European bonds.
Why do you own European bonds, Nancy?
Pardon?
Be careful with all those European bonds.
That's what I think. Maybe I shouldn't have them.
Well, rates are staying low there arguably a long time. So you're not necessarily going to see this huge spike up in interest rates over there. So it's not as though tomorrow they're going to be bad, but just be cognizant of that. But you've got to be a little bit patient here, Nancy. You got to remember why you own bonds, and forget about the European bonds for a second. And there's all sorts of areas to worry about. Not only are rates, but then you have to worry about currency over there. But let's focus here.
Okay.
If you own bonds here and you're trying to be a diversified investor, which I'm glad that you're trying to do. I'm a huge believer in that. Then you've got to understand what you own your bonds for. You own bonds for steady current income, and you own them so that you're not completely at the mercy of the stock market, the S&P 500. So we own them for a reason. So you look at this year and you say, hey, and I was just looking last night at where some of these bond indexes are.
Okay.
A couple bond LQD, corporate bonds, the price is relatively flat this year, but you've gotten about 2% in interest. A big whoop, right? It's not that big of a deal, but it's not terrible. High yield bonds are up a little bit. Government bond prices are down a little bit because yields are up. Remember why we own them. We own them for the yield.
I don't need income.
Well, but you also, Nancy, do you want to have everything invested at the mercy of the market and the full roller coaster
That's
of that?
Right. That's why I do it.
Okay.
I don't like to see red marks at the end of the day.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
So your bonds are there to balance against the red marks that can happen so dramatically in the stock market. Otherwise, we'd all own stocks because we know historically they've been the best performer, but they've also been this tremendous roller coaster over time. And we've had periods of time where we've lost 10, 20, 30, 40%. So here's my thought here is that you don't want to get overly, you have to understand and have the conviction longer term of why you own these and understand that we're owning bonds. You have bonds for the steady, anywhere from 2% you're getting all the way up to probably 5 or 6% if you own some high yield bonds. So be careful about getting too trigger happy when it comes to buying and selling and buying, selling in these different asset classes. Remember that we own them for the stability. We own them for the interest that you get every month. And that even though we might go through a period of time in 6 months, a year, maybe 2 years, where your bonds on paper don't look like they've done all that much for you, they at least help you have the conviction to stay the course in an overall portfolio. And that is so powerful. That is the investors that do the best are the ones that are able to have the conviction to stay the course and not go jumping back and forth between stocks and bonds and stocks and bonds. So you own them. Remember, everyone that owns bonds, I want you to remember why you own them and understand that even though we're going through a period of time where bonds haven't set the world on fire to the upside, they're relatively flat. We own them for the interest and we own them for the stability. And there's a lot to be said about that. And I want you to remember to be patient when it comes to that and understand we want to own the right bonds and not, we don't want to own a bunch of 30-year bonds. We want to own intermediate to short-term bonds today and a mix between government, corporate, and high yield, including floating rate. 404-872-0750. We've got WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack with Ryan Neely coming up straight ahead. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Time for the WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack. Ryan Neely's got a history question for us.
I do have a history question, but the McDonald's weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Lou Graham in concert on June 5th at Delta Classic Chastain, produced by ASO Presents. A pair of tickets to see Lady Antebellum in concert on July 18th at Aaron's Amphitheater at Lakewood, produced by Live Nation. And a pair of tickets to see Seth MacFarlane with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra on September 18th at Atlanta Symphony Hall, produced by ASO Presents. This week's trivia question, a little history for us. Atlanta, where we're broadcasting from, obviously the capital city of the state of Georgia. The question revolves around the other cities in the state of Georgia that were at one point the capital. Savannah is kind of a no-brainer. I'm not going to count that. But there are, by my count, three other eligible former capital cities. Give me one of the three, and you can go hang out with Seth MacFarlane.
Now, wait, Seth MacFarlane as in, is he some sort of
the
musician?
Family Guy founder or
creator. Oh, got it. Okay, okay.
Yeah, they're going to be singing, I guess, the stuff from Family Guy and American Dad and all that stuff, but symphonic backing.
Oh, wow. Talk about art. That sounds like true art.
And I thought about asking a question only I would know the answer to, but it would be unethical.
Wow. Well, all right. So there's a lot happening here in the world. We've covered a lot of ground today. It looks as though, remember here, and we'll post that via Twitter. So if you do Twitter, at WesMoss365, WesMoss365, we'll tweet out the answer to that WSB. McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. We talked about the Dirty Dozen today. The Dirty Dozen is obviously something that is an evolution. There's always at least 12 scary things that we have to face as investors. And if I look at my list from 2011, 4 years ago, and I look at the list today, there's a lot of similarities. Yet the Dow was at 12,000 when I did the list in 2011. Today it's over 18,000. So we've had 6,000 Dow points, despite all of the adversity and the bad news and the worries that are on that list of the Dirty Dozen. So remember, we continue to have headwinds. We continue to have things that scare us as investors. And we've got to go back to the call we just had about, hey, I own bonds and I own bonds for a reason. I have them for the income. I have them for stability. But it doesn't mean I don't also have the stock side of the market and the dividend paying side of the market, because I want the combination of what that provides to me. There's no one single right answer for any given economic environment. It's always, at least in my opinion or our opinion here on the Money Matters team, you've got to have that balance. That's the key to all of this. So with that, enjoy the rest of this, what looks like a beautiful, and it's really getting to be summer, this beautiful yet hot Sunday. We will be back live next Sunday right here from 9 to 11. Here on Money Matters. Adam Goldfine up straight ahead. Find me and the Money Matters team at WesMoss.com, WesMoss.com. News, weather, traffic straight ahead right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.